Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This morning, as I broadcast, there's a thunderstorm rolling through outside, so hopefully we'll stay connected through the entire time, but if not, that's likely what happened. As I spend time with God, I'm continuing in the devotional journal, Watch Your Mouth, Choosing Words Which Honor Christ. Today's topic is to choose exhorting words. Probably not a word that we're using common everyday language all that often. But I ask in the devotional, when you hear the word exhortation, what comes to mind? Is it a positive word to you, a negative word, or just a word? The Bible talks and teaches us about times where words of exhortation are necessary. It's kind of a big fancy word that we don't use a lot, but it really at the heart of it is the idea of strongly encouraging or spurring one another on to action. Paul writes, he says we should spur one another on to love and good deeds. Now, if you've ever ridden horses in a setting where you've used spurs, your first thought may not be all that pleasant. The idea that we're to spur one another on. In the horse realm, of spurs, these items at the heel of your boot that you put on that you're able to physically prompt your horse to move more quickly. The idea of physically being prompted to move more quickly isn't generally all that appealing. That's why God, I believe, instructs us to use words of exhortation. Words that are chosen out of love and out of respect, out of humility rather than out of anger or pride or anything else. But I believe this idea of choosing exhorting words or words of exhortation is kind of two-sided. Because we must begin by choosing words of exhortation for us. To choose God's word, to choose the words that He has given us to strongly encourage us to action. Generally, to strongly encourage us to a course of action that is different from the ways of the world. It's why it has to be words of exhortation. It's why it has to be words that move us. Because our default nature tends to be the path of least resistance. It tends to be the path of the world, the path that everyone else is following. And so we begin by accepting God's words of exhortation, whether they come directly from Scripture, through our reading, our time with God, our listening to His Spirit within us, or whether He uses another person to share His words of exhortation. There was a time when sermons were more commonly thought of as words of exhortation. It's really what they are, but we've kind of moved into a cultural shift where we'd rather refer to them as stories, talks, just good words, a nice message. But at the very heart of preaching the Word of God, there ought to be an exhortation to action, to do something about what God says. But I wonder if we've changed how we describe sermons because we've become comfortable of not doing anything about what we hear. I've said it often when I preach, and that I believe every time God's Word is presented, whether it's in a sermon or whether it's just us sitting down and reading it, whether it's in a Bible lesson, that God calls everyone that hears it to a decision. And that decision essentially revolves around the question, what are you going to do about what you just heard? I would say the same is true for these morning devotions. I'm sharing from God's Word. I'm sharing truth from Scripture. And so when we're finished today, the question still remains on the topic of choosing words of exhortation, what will you do? I'm not one that's inclined easily to strongly encourage or to spur someone on out of my nature. But God calls each of us at times to choose words of exhortation. This is kind of that next step up, if you would, from the encouraging words we talked about yesterday. They ought to be of an encouraging nature. They ought to be of an encouraging tone. But it moves beyond just, it would be nice if you did this, to, you really need to do this. There's a difference. And for the most part, these topics we're going to be covering are not standalone topics. It's not a buffet where you pick and choose. They kind of build together. They kind of become woven together. And so your words of exhortation ought to be encouraging. They ought to be assuring. They ought to be a lot of things, but don't make them so much something else that they lose their urgency. And there are times when we need to sit back and listen and respond to the words of exhortation that God has directed to us through His Word and through people. The other side of the words of exhortation in choosing exhorting words is there are times when God calls upon us to exhort someone else, to urge them on, to make a decision, to do something, to spur them on to love and good deeds. And when God calls us into that role, He always calls us into that role with an attitude of love, compassion, understanding. That this exhorting is not a demanding, but it's done out of an attitude of love. There are those that love the idea of exhorting others. Well, they would call it that. That's not really what they do. They demand that everyone submits to them. And they use every means possible to make that happen. But exhorting isn't about demanding that somebody do something my way or somebody do something your way. It's about strongly urging people to follow God's way. You see, that's the words of exhortation that God wants us to use. Not to get them to agree with me, but to point them toward God so that they would agree with Him. You see, so much of life in this culture that we live in, where words flow abundantly, and often because they flow so abundantly, they flow very carelessly. That we're more likely to use words to convince people to agree with us than we are to use words to convince people to agree with God. And whether it's our position on wearing a mask or a political candidate or life in general, we're so in tune with wanting agreement. Oh, not agreement among people, agreement with us. I'm right. And so the only way that you can be right is if you agree with me. Unless you're Jesus, and you're not, you just represent Him. That's a pretty arrogant statement. When we choose exhorting words, we begin by listening to the urging of God and His Spirit, calling us to love and good deeds. And in turn, the exhorting that we are called to do for one another calls people to action, to godly action, to good and right and noble deeds. But it also understands that those that we exhort aren't that much different from us. And it often takes time to see those actions the way we might want to see them. There's very few of us that are exhorted by God's word, by His Spirit, that immediately change, immediately put into action the things that we hear and read and know that we ought to do. So why do we expect something different from others that we ourselves don't live? Today, as we spend time in prayer, I would encourage you to listen to the exhortation of God's Word and His Spirit, to ask God to help you fully see and understand if there are things that He has been urging you to do that you've not done. And as you have opportunity, as God calls you to exhort others, to urge them to action, may you do so with great humility, with great patience and compassion. but may our choice of exhorting words change the world, because it motivates us to do what God would want us to do. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that has called us to yourself as your children, as those that you love. And in doing so, you exhort us through your word and your spirit to action, to do things, to be the representative of Jesus that you've created us to be. Father, as we spend time with you, may we understand the work, the good works that you created in advance for us to do. May we hear your calling towards those works. May we do them because we love you and we love people, knowing that none of those works will earn us salvation or greater favor with you. You already love us completely. But those works represent an obedience to show our love for you. And Father, when the exhortation of your word and your spirit urge us to action, may we be obedient in responding to that, no matter what it is. And when we're unsure, may we come back to you for clarification, for understanding, for guidance. And Father, in those times when those people around us need urged into action, may you give us the love to use exhorting words with humility, with patience, with understanding, the same traits that you have in using them with us. Father, as I think about the children in our homes, in our communities, and I know in our region different schools are starting back in person today, and others continue virtually or e-learning. And I think of the encouragement, the urging that our children often need. May we learn from you how to do that with kindness, but with firmness, with compassion, with expectations. May their response be like our response to you, that it's a response of love, because they see that love in us. God, as we go about the tasks that we need to do today, may we understand the urgency of time. Father, as I look at the world that we live in, it does appear that we're rapidly approaching the end of this world, as things appear to become darker and darker, waiting on the return of Jesus. And yet, Father, I also recognize that those early Christians in the first century were convinced that Jesus would return any day in their lifetime. So, Father, help us to make the most of every opportunity to exhort one another, to spur one another on to love and good deeds, so that we would represent Jesus well in whatever time we have left, whether it's minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades. May we be found faithful when Jesus returns, when we are called home. And may that faithfulness spread as we exhort one another. And as we take that exhortation in the way that it's meant by you, and we willingly change, we willingly move into action. Father, today I pray that we would represent Jesus well, that we would lift Him up so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me on this Tuesday morning. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.